she would never talk about the fact that she had a boyfriend, that she had a committed relationship, because that there, she wanted to keep that persona.
Yeah.
That there was that possibility that maybe, they could end up, and then
something and really that, gross.
That hope,
well,
that hope is something for men. Like that's just, that's this, it's a huge thing to like, just keep them going with that, that hope that they could be with this person.
Well, the people that I know that don't have social life, that basically their entire life is online, I wouldn't say are very happy. So it's not like it's,
I don't
a,
think so. Yeah.
It's not like it's a fulfilling existence. They're sitting there. They would be way more happy with the physical person in their life.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hello and welcome to the Brothers Random Show. My name is Travis.
I'm Michael.
And we are two ordinary brothers discussing extraordinary ideas and some random shit. So the topics on this show range from theology, masculinity, stories, movies, philosophy, books, pop culture, and many other subjects. We often talk about the people we admire and the wisdom they share, people such as Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, who we believe is the sage of our time. Michael, why are we here?
Today, we are talking about an interview that Luis Perry did on trigonometry.
There were certain things I sort of wavered on in the book. So you know, to summarize very briefly, like the argument of the book is that sexual evolution is often presented by progressives as being unambiguously good for women. My argument is actually there's been cost to women and to men in lots of important ways, and that there's wisdom in some old sexual norms which we've thrown out the window post-sexual evolution, and actually, like, there's a lot to be said for resurrecting them. So marriage is one example, that actually marriage is really good for protecting the interests of women and children in a lot of ways.
And it's super interesting. And the fact that we grew up on a polygamous compound, but we grew up in polygamy. The fact that we see all these social things happening, we want to talk about it. She does mention, I don't know if we want, maybe we can get into that. She does talk a little bit too, well, polygyny.
Explain that for people.
Where you have one male having multiple female partners and some portion of men not having any, right? The monogamous system that that prevails until recently in the West is quite unusual. I think it's 20% of societies that have a monogamous system, which does, of course, include some of the most like successful civilizations to have ever existed, including Christendom and Roman, you know, the Roman Empire. But it's still kind of an outlier. So it may be that we're just, now that we've lifted the monogamous expectation, it may be that people are now reverting to the species norm, which is a smaller number of attractive men having lots of different women.
So the Genghis Khan model.
Yeah. She's the author of The Case Against the Sexual Revolution, which came out, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. She's very fascinating. She's all over the internet. She's basically making the case that free sex wasn't good for women, and in the long run wasn't good for men either, because it seems to have kind of destroyed our society. So,
and she talks about how the rise in birth control and the rise in abortions
didn't lead to
less children born out of wedlock. It ended up leading to more children born out of wedlock,
which is, if you look at a diagram, it's very interesting, because it's
counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive, because you would think that people would have had less kids after the pill was. And her claim, her theory on that is that after people could control their biology like that, they felt freer to engage in more promiscuous sex. And by doing that, just inadvertently caused more kids to be born. Which, I mean, the 90s were bad for it. There was so much teenage pregnancy in the 90s. It was, I think it's decreased as far as teenage pregnancies. But in our society now, we've almost swung too far back, because now I think the statistic is one in every five men will not have sex in this year alone. Mm-hmm. So I don't foresee that as being, you know, in the long run, very good, because men who don't have access to women tend to become violent and criminal. And she speaks to this as well. So she says that one of the interesting things she says is that most societies are polygamy in some way. A few men have access to many women, and a lot of men don't have access at all. And she says this is destabilizing for societies. And we are seeing this in our society, because the advent of the dating app has brought about men, basically high value men, good looking men who are highly successful, tend to get more women than a dude living in his basement playing video games. And she says, and Chris Williamson has a different theory to this. Michael, what was that theory?
The sedated male hypothesis. Yeah. Polygyny tends to, so she says monogamous societies actually only in our history has only been more recent, and it's only been like 20% of.
And they're highly stable. They're highly stable.
Or higher, like GDP, better economics, and, and more stable, right? And this is, you know, been the case ever since the Industrial Revolution, as monogamy has been more norm, or well, Rome actually started to normalize monogamy.
Yes.
And which Rome is really just kind of a blip in our history, if you think about it.
But it had hundreds of years of success, like hundreds.
Yeah.
And so we're into this United States 250. So maybe if we have another 250, maybe this is the slow decline. And she talks about the slow decline, and we can get into that. But finish your thought on what. Counter argument to this is.
Well, and the idea is that societies who are polygynous, one man, several women, are unstable, because you're going to get a lot of men who don't have access to women, and those men can destabilize the society, right? And so the monogamy as a culture, and this Jordan Peterson got in trouble on this a few times, where he said that we should, you know, enforce monogamy. He was talking more like culturally we should in make it the norm, make monogamy the norm. But the internet ran with that, and they're enforced monogamy. He wants people to be chained together and blah, blah, blah. Anyway. But the idea is that a monogamous culture is better economically, better for
families, they're children, better families, for children,
right?
For women, according to Louise Perry, they're better for women. But then Chris Williamson says
he has this sedated male hypothesis, which is the way, like, the males that don't have access to women, and them being destabilizing to the culture, to society, maybe a little outdated, because now men can be sedated by
technology,
video games and porn, basically.
Well, and that keeps them from achieving or even achieving violence. They become less violent, because they're sitting in their mother's basement. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. They don't own anything. They just play video games and watch a lot of porn. So the whole point to Chris's view on this is that that we won't, men who don't have access to women won't destabilize our society, where our society will just kind of peter out. And that's what the, kind of is happening.
Checked out.
They'll just be checked out.
They'll just be checked out of the society.
Yeah.
And this is kind of going into the male psyche, is just like, it kind of, video games and porn, and I guess online friendships, with these forms of other men, would kind of check all of the boxes that are like driving forces within men, right?
Yeah.
Driving force within men, you know, evolutionarily, we'd get together with a bunch of the boys and we'd go hunting, right? Well, you can kind of do that
virtually
by getting together and going and, you know, completing a mission,
quest
online, right? On a video game.
And then there's, I know people personally who are checked out of the dating pool.
Yeah.
So I know that they just go, that basically they have a job, they go to work, all their free time is spent online, and then they're not meeting women, they're not going out to bars, they're not going, they're not doing anything to meet a woman. And to create a family and all that kind of stuff. So according to Louise Perry, this is already happening. We're seeing this happen. We're seeing with dating apps and stuff like that, there's a small amount of men who are getting access to women and a large amount of men who are just done with the effort, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't talk about the sedated male hypothesis.
No, we're bringing, which would that be up. Interesting to for her and Chris to talk about that. I wonder if they do on his podcast, because I noticed she's been on his podcast a few times. A
couple times, yeah.
See, so
I have to research that. But
but this interview particularly, so when she talks about that, why do you, I wanted to ask you this because you were in it longer than I was, in our own upbringing, in our own polygamous sect that we were part of, what kept it from being destabilized? Because there were people at the top who all had, like, I don't know how bad it got, but
no.
So what kept our, there, was it small enough that, well, it wouldn't become an issue?
Well, you had an issue with this, and I don't know for sure on with the AUB. You did have the Lost Boys from the Jeff's group that came out of the Jeff's group, and they
pushed away. They was
more or less, they kind of got rid of the young boys, right? Yeah. They just kind of had to get rid of them because there wasn't enough women to go around.
Yeah, there was,
and they were kind of threatening the stability of their culture. Now, the AUB has been a little more free in like allowing people to leave. And so those young men probably just eventually leave. Several of them that I know of did, right? Now, so it might just fix itself in the fact that, well, if I don't have access to women, I'm out, right? And maybe you're seeing some of this with like Passport Bros. You heard about Passport Bros?
Oh, you mean when they go to other countries, Passport Bros?
Yeah,
so let's explain
Americans.
That.
So Americans,
go ahead.
Going to a foreign country to get a wife, right?
Yeah,
like traveling to a foreign country to find a wife, and I want to say they bring them back, but they may not actually always.
I know people like that as well. I know two people who went to Mexico and got married.
Yeah, I knew a guy that went to Russia.
So
and
what can you blame them? They have you know, the wife comes back and has a really luxury life in comparison to what she had in her foreign, in her home country. the man gets a woman who's maybe a little bit more agreeable.
We'll just say.
That's how it might relate to us, to our upbringing, because as I was listening to her talk about this, I was just thinking, well, I wonder what kept ours from being too destabilized. It might, like you said, it might have been small enough. That's interesting. That's an interesting
small thought. Small enough. And also, you know, sometimes they'll bring women in. They'll find women that, and then they convert them, to
righteousness,
come in and live polygyny. And
I would argue that there's probably a little bit more of a moral code when it comes to, you know, so this is going to be controversial, but if you're a man willing to take care of the children that you're siring. You know, that's better than the dude who's on the app who gets laid by a different girl every week.
Yeah, well, is it? I don't know. I mean, shoot. Societally, probably yes. Maybe, because, like, I mean, at least somewhat. There's some responsibility. And they are supposed to be taking care of their children. So they should be around to take care of the children. You know, we probably saw our own fair share of polygamous fathers that, you know, weren't around very much,
or maybe stretched or thin,
kind of checked out, or stretched thin.
Because that's what happens if you got 12 wives and each one of them has 5 kids, like, holy shit, you know, you can't, you don't have the time in a day, especially if you are not living off the dole, you are actually achieving and making money for the
think about family. The pressure on a man to provide for a family of, you know, a wife and a few kids. And think about the pressure that's on a man to provide for.
And then you multiply that by five, you know, that's gotta be, it's gotta be
pressure.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure, especially if you're not relying on the government or some other the religious organization,
the organization to keep you afloat.
And this is why it's destabilizing, right? So if you have too many family members, if you got too many kids, then the destabilization there's another destabilization point, right?
Well, I mean, we can get into that too, because Chris or Louise Perry, she talks about a lot of her work is kind of built around this population decline.
Yes. Yeah.
Stuff
and according to her, Rome had the same problem that we're facing now. Her theory is that when we get to a certain point in societal wealth, that we stop having children. And so, according to her research, she found out that there were Roman citizens who were of higher class that were being taxed for not having children because the Roman officials were going, we don't have enough people to repopulate our society. So why don't you guys start doing it? And I think they talk about Belgium has done something similar where they've given tax breaks to people who are married, who are having kids, and it's moved the needle a little bit, but not much. Because if you're familiar with our channel, we talk a lot about the birth gap. The birth gap is basically this issue that all westernized countries, all modernized countries are facing with people not having children. So we, in 10, 15 years, we're going to be in bad way because most of our society will be old and there will be no young people to take care of the old.
Yeah. To replace them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a lot of research in the fact that, yeah, a lot of these women who are not having kids is because they're not finding the right man. And that's a huge, it goes there, both ways, right? Now
there's there's a ton of variables. Women,
all these things.
Yeah. Women who put their
are
career
making more
first,
money.
Yeah.
And if they naturally want somebody who makes as much or if not more than them, then that makes the
pool,
the dating pool
of
a little bit more, a little bit worse,
less,
right? Like, and not just that, but if she wants to take time off work to have a child and she makes more and she's the breadwinner, she makes more money, that creates a problem, right? Because obviously, sorry, feminists, women take more of the burden of childbearing than men do. These are facts. It's biology. And so these things, it's kind of like created this perfect storm. Not just that, but like online dating, kind of what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're finding, you know, 20%. And the numbers vary a little bit, right? It's not. It's not across the board,
but
right.
This
about 20% of the men are cleaning up house with about 80% of the women. Now, and I think that just gets worse though, right?
The more men that leave the dating scene, that just gets worse and worse and worse.
I was just listening to another podcast was Chris Williamson had a gal on that did a study where she went and she studied a lot of these things, the sexual pariah stuff, where she studied there are brothels that have no women or people in them. They're brothels that are just dummies.
Ugh.
Right. That's all they do. Right.
They just sell a dummy to,
Well, they don't, you go into a room, it's heavy. It's, you don't really move it. It's anyway, this is her describing it. It's like, and she, it creeped her out. She was just like, this freaks me out. And, but I mean, this was a woman. It freaked her out, but I don't know that it keeps me. Sex robots are coming. When the sex robots come, how much of the male population are we going to just slowly see just check out of the dating market?
Well, getting back to this interview, according to Louise, the sex robots may never come because the engineering prowess to further technology is slowing down because there's less people in the engineering, there's not as many graduates in engineering. So everything is starting to slow down. According to her, she said she did an interview with an economist, and that man said that in 5 years, we will not have the proper amount of engineers to send somebody to Mars. According to him, she said, we won't ever get to Mars.
Hmm.
So we may never get to the singularity of sex robots.
Hmm. Might not. Well,
because what's happening, we're slowing down in technical advances. So
now it might not be the same with AI. So she used a beta. This kind of scared me. And this is going back to this other interview. Let me find this other interview. Because it's Chris Williamson. He has Rona Van Voorst on, and it's his interview is is this the future of sex? Anyways, she did a beta test, testing that's not available. I guess it's not available, but it's a beta testing AI friend, and she was speaking with this friend, and it was just very nice and casual. And
so it's an AI, like on a phone. It's like a voice AI
on her phone. Her phone. Yep. And it got to the point where, like, friendly conversations, like, oh, what are you reading? Oh, I'm reading this. Oh, I'm reading this. You might like this book, right? Like, just really friendly stuff.
Yeah.
Back and forth. And this is a couple things she realized. She talked less with her real friends. Whoa. She realized that. It got to the point where her partner noticed that she was on her phone a lot. What are you doing on your phone so much? What's going on here? Almost like she was having an affair. Okay.
So a companion, a voice companion is maybe the wave of the future. Maybe the robots don't come, but maybe the AI girlfriend. Yeah. Like the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's we're more likely to get to that point than we are.
Probably. We probably are more likely. Now, is there a way that capitulates? Is there a way in the movie Her? It's funny because I haven't even seen the movie Her, but
you should watch it because it'll kind of make all this seem we're way closer to this than we think
when we realize, right? It's weird. Yeah. But like doesn't she hire
She hires an escort
to come and have sex with him.
Yeah.
But she does it with him and with her in his ears.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So he thinks, well,
and,
so it's
and
like,
that's her. More likely going to happen than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't get to watch their extended interview with Luis Perry, which I wanted to, but I'm not on locals. Yeah, so yeah. I haven't gotten that, but like they asked her about Christianity and like,
OnlyFans
are 1%. 1% of women are doing OnlyFans.
Man, that's mind.
It's like
in the United States, 1%.
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe we should look it up. So this is from the Washington Examiner. These are rough numbers because OnlyFans doesn't publicize their numbers. So it's rough, but they're saying that this means that we can roughly deduce that about 2% of American women aged 18 to 45 are selling themselves on OnlyFans.
Holy shit. About 2% of all, that's a lot.
I don't know. And it kind of makes you wonder if there's going to be like a, almost like a .com bust, but like an OnlyFans bust.
And like
if AI like could
completely
replace these women, does it just blow up? I don't know. I don't think so because, and this is one of the things that the gal that
the need
she was on OnlyFans and then she, as a sex worker, and then she found Jesus and got out of it as a millionaire.
There's definitely a weird correlation there where, yeah, it's something that you, it's like anything that you do, like everybody's always like, oh yeah, I'm going to make my millions at this so I can get out and do what I really want to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that if you interviewed an OnlyFans girl, she'd be like, oh yeah, I love doing this, you know, but
yeah,
you really like scrape away the persona and they're probably not too happy about doing it.
Well, I mean, that gal seemed happy that she found Jesus and got out of it. And she was interviewed by Michael Knowles. So you'd be able to look OnlyFans girl and
Michael.
But she said that one of her tricks of the trade was just to kind of make these men believe that they could have a chance with her.
Oh.
Like, she would never talk about the fact that she had a boyfriend, that she had a committed relationship, because that there, she wanted to keep that persona.
Yeah.
That there was that possibility that maybe, they could end up, and then
something and really
that
gross.
Hope, well, that hope is something for men. Like, that's just, that's this, it's a huge thing to like, just keep them going with that, that hope that they could be with this person.
Well, the people that I know that don't have social life, that basically their entire life is online, I wouldn't say are very happy. So it's not like it's,
I don't
a,
think so. Yeah.
It's not like it's a fulfilling existence. They're, yeah, they're sitting there. They would be way more happy with the physical person in their life.
Oh, I'm sure. 100%. I'm 100%. But of course,
but they're not going to,
that takes, you know, working on yourself. That takes communication. That takes working through fights. That takes, there's a whole, like, and this is one of the things that this gal talking with Chris was talking about, is that we, what happens when we become this society and you have these relationships that are robots or, you know, AI or whatever it is, and it's easy and you don't really have to work for it. And now you don't really have to push yourself on that, that kind of social, in that social realm, to have to socialize with the individual and, like, you know, yeah, communicate and negotiate.
Well, and dedication, you know, to be dedicated to something, you know, or, and, you know, one of the guys is heavily overweight that I know. And I don't think he's ever gonna, he's never gonna have kids. He's never gonna own a house. He's never gonna have a wife. It's like, that's a pretty meager existence. You know, you, no, nobody is going to die, be on their deathbed going, but I have this much coin in my purse on my, you know, World of
online,
Warcraft character or whatever.
Or
you're not going to die going, oh, yeah, I'm so proud of that. You know, it's just a very, it's a sad existence. Yeah, that's what it is. It's, you know, because people want connection with other people. And if you're not getting connection with other people, it's a miserable existence. You are, you may convince yourself that you're not miserable, but you are. You're pretty miserable when you don't have a connection.
Well, and maybe this is to the point of like why this is kind of happening, but there's a lot of people in relationships that are miserable.
Yes.
Right? Like it,
well,
it,
because those relationships are not connected.
There's been
something that's happened, you know, an infidelity or something, or
maybe a lot of these men or people just in general, it seems like it's more on the side of men. Men are more willing to just check out of the dating market. They're more willing to just check out of social, social things. That's not to say that there aren't, that I'm sure there are women that
who do it as well.
This is happening too. I mean, the trope of like what cat ladies or anyway.
Well, yeah, but it's, but society has kind of made it okay, and it shouldn't be okay. They basically like the what's the body positivity. It's like the body positivity. It's like you do whatever you want, but this isn't good for you. This isn't, you being fat is not good. It's not good for you at all.
Think about like early 90s, right? Like if you wanted anything, you basically had to read a book or go out and talk to somebody. Right. Like those were basically your options. Now the advent of the internet, there is so much that somebody can do besides going out and having people and having relationships.
You got Netflix, you got OnlyFans, you got
so much
World of Warcraft.
Right?
Yeah. There's so much you can do rather than go talk to people.
even the days of Blockbuster, if you wanted to sit at your home and watch TV all the time,
you still
or watch
had
movies
to go out
all the time, you still had to go out and rent your movies and talk to the Blockbuster
clerk.
Like,
so, some of those were some of the best social interactions I ever had.
Right? Yeah. Sometimes those were way fun. And those guys probably saw some, like, the gambit, probably the weirdest of the weird, coming and rent
yeah,
and
hey,
stuff.
Do you
and
have some, this movie?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then, and some of the coolest of the cool, right?
Yeah.
So, but now you don't have to interact with
anyone. You can go your entire, like, you can go an entire day and not interact with one person.
Yeah.
Unless you're forced to, I mean, have a job.
You can have
of
your
some
food
kind.
Delivered yeah. to your house. You can have food delivered to your house. You could be not interact with anyone.
Well, yeah. If you have a job online, then you have no reason to leave your house.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. My buddy had his son got a job online, mm-hmm. and he said that he would just roll out of bed and get on the computer and go to work.
Go to work. Jeez.
And he's just like, it was just it's just a different world. It's a completely different world than what I and he and I were talking, and just like what we are used to.
Yeah. Interactions. Some of the better interactions in my day are with people that I work with.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, you know, if you take those away and you don't have a family, it's a meager existence. And so, you know, and Louise Perry, her theory is that after a certain amount of wealth, it's not even technology, because she's claiming that Rome had this same issue, mm-hmm. that after the society had gotten comfortable with a certain amount of wealth, even though they didn't have technology, they were still not having children. They were, she mentions a bunch of archaic ways of birth control and abortion. And she said even infanticide, which is a horrible idea, she said that was a common thing in Rome. Mm-hmm. So all of that, and they were still not having kids because of their wealth. So it's like a, I don't know what it is. It's like a human evolution thing. Once you get to a top of the peak, it's almost like you need hardship to actually get back to society, to get back to what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like family and closeness with familial individuals. And if our society's worse because it's got the technology to falsify all of the receptors that we would need in our lives to have a fulfilling life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's like, this is a problem with both the sexes. Like, this isn't just a men's problem, but men generally, and this was David Buss that said this, that men will generally do what they need to do to have access to sex, and then not much more.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just think about back in the day, like, you know, in the 50s, you know, before pornography
the
sexual revolution,
the sexual revolution before the pill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was readily available.
What they would have to do in order to have access to sex, like impress the father and the family and marry the girl. And then you had access.
They were the
right?
norms of the time, you know.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to give it up right away. And you were going to, you were going to get to a point where you could afford a family, and it was all based on the man's income, and you didn't need to. So the pill basically brought about the need for a two household income.
Yeah, because over the space of 20 years, 30 years, we doubled our workforce. So wages stayed stagnant, and they didn't have to, rise because we doubled our workforce.
Yeah.
Over 20 years.
Yeah. So wages stayed.
From yeah, so
it's
wages
a, it's a bizarre. It's it, so well, I go.
Who
I,
won I, was the large corporations.
They won.
That's who won.
Yeah, that's who won. It wasn't the male or the female. It was the
they started
large corporation.
Getting they the bigger competition, more competition. Now this shoot, this is I hate that we have to caveat this. We're not saying that women should not have gotten into the workforce.
No.
No,
no.
we're just saying that on a societal level, what changed and what happened, it changed the game. Like it all changed.
So what's interesting about this is I'm always, and I've mentioned this before, there's always unintended consequences, right, to everything.
Yeah.
And it's more prevalent in looking at society as a whole. So the unintended consequences of the pill is it made people more promiscuous. And so rather than having less sex, they were having way more sex, and we were still, there's still tons of babies out of wedlock. It didn't stop people from having babies. Okay. So that's the unintended consequences of that. The unintended consequences of the sexual revolution, also of getting women into the workforce, was that it basically made it necessary for every household to have two incomes. We've become a society that needs two incomes for the household. And that is a direct unintended consequence of women coming into the workforce. Now, I'm not, like we said, the caveat to that is we're not saying that women need to stop working. It's a good thing that women have careers, but the unintended consequences of careers is a society that who's got their kids being raised by the state. The percentage of people with dual income in their household is closer to 58%.
Okay. 52 to 58%. So it sounds like there's a pretty good portion
of people out there, single income households. But I wonder what the correlation is between a single parent and a single household income.
I think this is using data for married couples.
Yeah.
Which there's a lot of people living together
that aren't married,
that have kids that are not married. That is huge. So this is saying that only 34% of American families have one income.
It's higher than I thought it was.
Me too. I honestly thought it was going to be closer to like 1 to 10%, maybe, like maybe 9% or something like that. But
well, and this segues to, what's the acronym, Michael?
Oh, DINKS. Yeah. So that Louise Perry on Trigonometry, they talk about DINKS, dual income, no kids.
Is what DINK sent. D-I-N-K.
It's a huge thing. It's, I guess there's a TikTok, a bunch of TikToks or online, it became a big thing.
Yeah, and I've seen some of these. Some of them
these
are
young,
really,
they're
really
young
asshole-y.
People. Oh, they're just like, oh, I can sleep in, and I don't need to do this, and blah blah blah, because I have my dink, and like we get to do what we want to when we want to, because we're dinks.
It's really slimy. That's what it comes across like. Really. Like smarmy, like, oh yeah, I'm so great because I don't have kids. Is like, what the hell?
I think it's one of those social things where, I mean, Louise was talking about how Australia was trying to push their citizens, you know, have one for mom, have one for dad, have one for Australia. like, it's your Australia, you know, patriot duty to like go have children for your country. And now we're like, please. And now we've got these, you know, kids running around with their nice cars and their lavish lifestyle, and they get to travel and they're living in vans, and the whole back now that living in a van down by the river is a cool thing.
When you're living in a van down by the river.
It makes you wonder if these people don't ever read about the possibility of the society collapsing because they decided not to have kids. I mean, I don't.
Well, it just goes back to like your wealth. I mean, there's wealth comes with a lot of different things, but she's talking about how Louise Perry, she's talking about how societies that are wealthy just tend to get away from having kids. And for whatever reason, it's, what is it? I don't know. Keeping up with the Joneses, covetous. I don't know, but these kids that are just not having children. And I say kids, I mean, they're probably young adults there, but most of them that I saw were young, but seemed pretty young. And so, and maybe they plan on having kids someday. I don't know. It's just, it's kind of this weird thing where you're just like, guys, sorry, what are you going to do in your old age? Man, Christmas would be really fucking depressing if you don't have any kids to come home for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
When you're 80 in an old folks home
and you're getting taken care of by somebody else's kid and Christmas comes along and nobody shows up to celebrate Christmas with you because the spouse that you had just died the year previous, you don't have any children.
I hope people find fulfillment in their lives. I just think they're being sold. And maybe this comes with the hubris to think that we're like going to live forever. Right.
Yeah.
Like maybe people don't
really think of death very often.
That stoicism of like memento mori, like remember that you will die, is just remember that you're going to die. You are mortal. Right. Like maybe that's being lost in all this. Oh yeah, we're dinks, we just live our life in the moment,
yeah,
do what we want, you know. I hope that people find their, you know, happiness and stuff, but I think you're being sold, and Jordan Peterson talks about this all the time, you're being sold of the wrong set of goods, right? Like, people need to understand that they will get old, right? Mm-hmm. You will get old. And what are you going to do in your 60s if you don't have children? Like, I mean,
yeah, after you retire, like
when you retire,
she talks. Louise gets into one more subject before we go. So the subject is that she says, there has never been more human flourishing since individuality became a big deal.
Mm.
And the England started it, and the United States has taken it even further with their individuality.
Ran with it.
You have the right, the sovereign right to your labor, to your person, you know, your personage. You have the sovereign right to all of those things, but she says it has created more human flourishing than anything else. But what it also has done is it's also made people extremely selfish. Mm-hmm. And in the unintended consequence of being extremely selfish is that you don't have children. And you don't care about society's woes. You are only out. You're only out for your individual. And that's what a dink is. They're just out for themselves. They're probably Going to be married for a few years, going to get a divorce, do it again, keep doing it. If they're obsessed with their individuality, that's what they'll do. Because nothing makes you more less individualistic than having a child. Mm-hmm. Then your whole being is put into trying to make that person a good person, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, for the rest of society. Any more thoughts on that, brother?
Oh, shoot. There's so much.
I just go, we're so fucked. Our society is so.
They kind of, Francis and
Constantine.
Yeah, Francis and Constantine. They laughed at her a little bit because they were just like, sell us this bill of goods, like sell us on natalism. Natalism being this kind of rise, encouraging women to have children, right? Natalism and I guess they didn't think she did a very good job,
so they kind of gave her some grief.
They kind of gave her a little bit of guff for that. But like the thing is though is like I don't know, the think about your old age. I think is one, like, because you will grow old. I think some of these young people, I think they don't think they're ever going to grow old or something. I don't know what the deal is there.
Well, it's like the Fame song, I'm going to live for, like, everybody thinks they're going to live forever. Right.
Right. She didn't do a great job of like trying to sell it or anything like that, but well, I would agree with her. Like, hey guys, this is probably something we should do more of. we should have more kids.
You ask any woman, and we should have had a woman on for this. You ask any woman who's a mother and isn't like the deadbeat mother who's just doing drugs. You ask any woman who's like, what's the most rewarding thing about life? They're going to say it's being a mom. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say my job was the best thing. And then the wealth I accrued or the traveling that I did. Nobody's going to say, they're going to say it's being a mom. It's being watching this person grow, watching this person become go through their challenges through life. And the same thing goes for being a father. It's the best thing ever. I mean, do people look back on their life and go, oh man, I should have done this and I should have done this and I should have done that. And you got a lot of that, but you're also going, but I put together this person, this person who's got a great personality, who wants to be a successful individual, who's mm-hmm. got a drive and a desire and dreams and hopes, and they fall in love and they fall out of love, and you're there for it. You're sitting there, counseling them through it and loving them through it. And that is the most important thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Because when we stop caring about that, which most of our society has done, we get the birth gap. We've got lost people because nobody's making family a priority anymore. Families are looked down upon.
And children are looked down upon.
Children are looked down upon.
That's one thing I think we need to put child rearing back on a pedestal, which I don't know if I think it was at one point and it's been pulled off of its pedestal. Did you ever see Children of Men? In the story, people just stopped having babies. There were no babies to be had. And there was a moment where there was a baby. Somebody had a baby. Mm-hmm. And there was a war going on. Everybody's fighting. Mm-hmm. And then a baby's crying and everybody just stops and listens to the baby cry.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful and I loved it. But I mean, I almost feel like we're, we need that. We need that little bit of, you know, reverence for people who are, you know, sacrificing themselves to have children, because they're supporting your future. My children may not take care of you in your old age, but their GDP will.
Yeah. Wow, that's a sobering one, brother. Check us out on social media, audience, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just look for The Sword in the Skull. If you are listening to this and not watching it, please go to YouTube and like, share, and subscribe. There are our begs. In the meantime, keep reading, keep listening, keep watching, learn more. We'll see you, brother.
See ya.
Yeah, I mean, like, women attracted to status, like, what's new? Men are attracted to youth and beauty. Although